They are one of the most inventive and compelling groups in rock history, equally famed for their virtuoso musicianship and influential body of work. They were certified for having the third most consecutive gold and platinum studio albums by a rock band, topped only by the Beatles and the Stones. On June 29th, they're heading back out on the road for the Time Machine Tour, featuring in its entirety, for the first time ever, moving pictures. And as the tour begins, out comes the critically acclaimed, award-winning documentary Rush Beyond the Lighted Stage, DVD and Blu-ray. And there's that star in Hollywood and new songs from the studio, too. I'm Jeff Woods, and in association with FMQB, the Legends of Classic Rock presents In Conversation with Rush, with our special guests Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson.
40 years later, and this little band that started in a basement is perhaps, and you tell me, busier than ever?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We are busier than ever, actually. I think the last 3 months have been the busiest of my life.
People tell me things are going incredibly well in the studio.
Alex and I started writing together, I guess it was February or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just casually getting together in my home studio the way we did Snakes and Arrows. And just, you know, started jamming. And Neil sent us some lyrics. And we were just kind of seeing what we could come up with. We knew we wanted to do a tour. We weren't sure whether we could get some songs written before the tour, let alone recorded. The writing sessions went really well, and before we knew it, we had about 5 or 6 songs that we were pretty happy with. And so we kind of got Nick, our producer, in, and you know, he booked studio time in Nashville. We went down there, and I guess within about 10 days, we had 2 tracks recorded and sounding really good and mixed, so we're pretty excited about that.
These songs have a very in-your-face, very hard approach, kind of heavy, and it was really exciting to write that kind of material. You know, the last record was an acoustic venture. You know, we started with acoustic guitars and wrote most of the record that way. But this one, we've taken a more of electric approach, and it shows in the power.
It's really an interesting process. We go in with very little preconception. We try to let it be as natural and as kind of the moment as it can be, and you know, we start jamming together. This time it just kind of took a direction. It just kind of blossomed, and it was really one of the best writing sessions I think we've ever had together. So I don't know why. I don't know what that means, other than the fact that sometimes it's just kind of a mercurial process.
For me, I couldn't wait to go over to Ged's in the morning and get started. We have a couple coffees and, you know, shoot the breeze for a bit and then get right into it. And things happened kind of quickly, and there was such a bright spark to a lot of the material that we were writing. It was really quite exciting.
I think it was the coffee.
Maybe it was the coffee.
We're coffee achievers.
Oh, sorry, I stole your line.
Do you wake up in the morning with ideas? Do you find them in the shower? Do you wake up in the middle of the night? When do they come to you, or do they actually come when you're sitting in the studio?
Well, I have a great idea every morning, but
nobody wants to know about it.
Nobody wants to hear about that. Especially me right now. No, it's funny. There was one track on this album that I started writing kind of lying in bed. And I just figured it would be a way to get us going, because the hardest thing sometimes is that one little thing that gets you started. Yeah. And right when we sat down, and of course, you know, you got nothing written and you're just looking at your guitars. So I had this idea that I've been working on in my head, and we played around with it, and it ended up being BU2B in the end. And so that was kind of satisfying to know that that at least it came from some kind of half dream thing.
It's an interesting way to approach a title of a song.
Well, it just became a nickname for it because we got tired of saying the full Brought Up to Believe all the time, you know, when referring to it. And actually, it's a bit of a tongue twister, even in and of itself. It's not the easiest thing to say. So we shortened it to BU2B as a kind of quicker way to type. and it just stuck.
Alex Hughetti, tell me about Caravan then.
It was one of the first ones we put together, and we wanted it to be a bit of a musical extravaganza, kind of a jam. And lyrically, it's kind of the opening segment of a concept that we're still in the midst of working on, which will kind of be revealed when we finish the album, if we do.
You can sing to this quite readily as a fan.
That's what people tell me, which is always strange.
I can see it, though, in the chorus, the repeating chorus.
Yeah, I think the chorus does kind of stay with you.
Stop thinking big. I can't
So you have new songs, wonderful. You have moving pictures. Whose idea was it, by the way? A great idea. The fans are all very excited about going back, playing moving pictures in its entirety. Perfect album to do it with. Who came up with the thought?
That was Neil.
Yeah, Neil brought it up.
Yeah,
actually.
It's his idea. He thought it was a cool idea, and so he suggested maybe we should try that with moving pictures. Seems to be our quintessential Rush album. So coincidentally, it was the 30th anniversary of that album's creation, so thought it was kind of apropos.
Starts in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the 29th, all over North America, Canada, and the U.S. Will it go to Europe?
Not this year.
Not this year.
We will definitely get to Europe next year if we're back out there.
I got a call this morning from a Spanish fan saying, when are you coming to Spain? He was adamant that it has to be at least in the next 12 months.
Okay, well.
All right, I'll go.
I'm open.
It was that easy.
Yeah.
The movie. It premiered at the 2010 Tribeca Film Festival. I saw it. I loved it. It won an audience award at that festival. How did it feel sitting back in the audience, like so many of us, watching this documentary, your history unfolding before your eyes?
Very unusual. I mean, it was a little uncomfortable, but at the same time, watching the whole film, I appreciated how they balanced the film, how it was humorous, how it was informative. There were some very tender moments. I think it gave a good insight into the band and into the history of the band and showed a side of us that maybe a lot of people don't get to see, and that's our not-so-serious side.
I found it in equal parts kind of emotional and difficult to watch. I loved the early moments. I loved what they had dug out of the vaults and how they kind of made all those old photographs come alive. I thought that was really quite cool. And of course, I was terribly flattered to hear all these artists talk about our influence on them. It's really a little surprising, but, you know, obviously the ultimate compliment. But it's not so easy to watch yourself and your buddy who you see every day talking over and over again about stuff. So what I really loved, as Alex said, was the sense of humor of the film, you know, whether it was us or the pieces that they picked from other people. I really enjoyed being in the audience and listening to the crowd laughing. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than a band who takes themselves seriously, but there's also nothing worse than a filmmaker who takes your life so seriously that you can't throw a few laughs in there. So that was, I think, the surprising part as well.
It's a great film, and I love the fact that, unlike a lot of documentaries about bands, they did go chronologically, which is a real challenge and a feat to do it effectively, considering it's a long history and a lot of records.
I think they were very conscious of the fact that fans have been waiting a really long time for such a movie, and they wanted to pay the proper respect to the things that they would want to see in a film. They really did have the heart and souls of our fan base in their minds when they were putting it together, I think. And that's why I think it unfolds in that way.
Agreed. Comes out on DVD for anyone who hasn't seen it in the theater on the 29th as well. Is there something that you learned about yourself as you sat there and watched it, Getty or Alex?
I was way skinnier than I thought.
He looked like a girl when he was young.
Yeah.
Do you know what? What I think resonated with me was that it wasn't a film about a band as much as it was a film about friendship. It's not about us as much as the whole circumstances and what is possible with three friends.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. The blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart. Yes, closer to
Creativity forged in 1977 by Lee, Lifeson, and Peart, Rush from the album A Farewell to Kings. I'm Jeff Woods with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, our guests this hour. It's time to revisit the classic 1981 album they'll be playing on tour across North America in its entirety, Moving Pictures. Three gems from it and stories to go with, plus Rush Take a Walk on the Walk of Fame, and the role of Rush in the hit movie I Love You Man. All that and more coming up right here next.
This is the Legends of Classic Rock.